the third presentation, and by Mati from Madrid. Cumulative change of activist exchanges, the occupation of squares and the squatting of buildings.
No, thank you. So it's 20 minutes.
25.
Okay, thank you.
Quarter to, and then we have 15 minutes.
Okay. So this presentation is about research. I start to do as an activist first when the M15 movement started in Madrid last year. I was deeply involved in this movement from the very beginning, but apart from this, I was also involved in the squatters movement for more than 10 years now. I was a bit surprised when this movement started, the M15, and people like me, involved as activists and researchers in the squatters movement, were also surprised, and something new happened, and that's the thing I want to explain here. This is the convergence or the merge of two different movements at the beginning, but at the end, as you can, you also could verify this morning in some of the other presentations, these two movements start to do similar things at the end, and that's what happened in the last 3 months, more or less. So that's the reason, because the subtitle is the occupation of the squares and the squatting of buildings. So it's, as you can imagine, focused basically on the role of space, but it's not about about the space itself, but it's about how people from one movement using one kind of space is connected or related to people using another kind of space. So the first question is, why the M15 movement? There are too many reasons from the literature, from all the debates, all the opinions, all the internal reports that emerge from the movement. So it's huge material. So I have more than 40,000 documents in my computer since the very beginning of the movement. But I was also a participant in most of the assemblies. Every week we had several assemblies, demonstrations, some ones more than others. So for this part, most of these analyses come from all of this information. So for me, the first motivation is the financial crisis, the increasing of precarious work in the country, of course the high rates of unemployment, urban speculation and the housing shortage, and of course all the neoliberal measures that the last governments were applying. Secondly, there was also a context, what we could define as a contamination with the Arab Spring and all the uprisings that took place in Greece, even in Italy and in some other countries, in France, for example, the general strike and so on. And third, this is also connected to one of the presentations of this morning, is this learning process of previous experience. So you cannot imagine this as a spontaneous movement, but it's completely grounded on previous movements, very important ones, very relevant and also massive ones in Spain. One of them are related to the alter or anti-globalization movements from 1994 to 2002, then the anti-war movement in 2003, the anti-PP, Partido Popular, in 2004, when the terrorist attacks took place in Madrid, the movement for decent housing in between 2006 and 2010, and the general strikes was the closer one in 2010. All of these movements were new in the tradition of social movements in Spain, All of them were improving new repertories of protest. All of them were using internet communications as a generalized tool. There were too many interesting things, all of them connected to the explosion of the M50 movement last year. So, the first thing, or the most salient thing of this movement was the camp. The camp, in particular the camp in Madrid. I didn't mention that most of this research was made in Madrid, even when I also searched, or we also searched documents from other cities. I also make interviews in different cities, but most of the information comes from Madrid. And the most important thing at the beginning of the movement was the camp in Puerta del Sol, in the very center of Madrid. And this camp is something like that, as you can, it was the transformation of the of this space, public space and commercial space, in, basically, and it was transformed into this democratic space, self-managed space, creative space, and so on. But the M50 movement is something else than the camp. The camp was like the trigger of the movement, like the most attractive and appealing experience to call for new participants, and it was also a special moment of civil disobedience against the prohibition of being there, being gathered there. So the M50 movement, of course, is the camp, the second point, Puerta del Sol, Madrid camp, which start after the clashes with the police and the 24 people who were arrested, after the demonstration of the M15. This demonstration took place in 57 cities in Spain, not only in Madrid or Barcelona or the big cities, but in 57, it's a lot. It was called initially by a group called Democracia Real, Real Democracy Now, Democracia Real Ya, but this organization also was integrating that to many different groups. And this demonstration was 1 week before the municipal elections, which is also relevant in terms of understanding the impact and the electoral opportunity that was also part of the explanations of this success. So the crowds attended the assemblies after the attempts to evict and ban the camp. That the first week was the most intense one, but the camp remained for almost 1 month. And the camp was not the end of the movement. During the camp, basically, it was a huge organization of committees, work groups, and especially the popular decentralized assemblies in neighborhoods and small villages of the region of Madrid. And, of course, all the different demonstrations and campaigns that occur during the next months, which is never happened before in Spain, such a huge wave of continuous demonstrations in the streets and even challenging the prohibitions of going to the street without any permission. It's not permission exactly what we call in Spain, it's communication to the authorities, but even without communication. So that was the novelty, as most of you know. So the question of my research is why squatters first joined the M50 movement. We had no reason at the beginning, in particular because we were different. Squatters, I mean we, because I'm also part as an activist of the squatters movement, but in general in the squatters movement the focus of our political frame is to be against urban speculation, to be against private property, and to be against the capitalist system. It's not just a reformist claim like most of the first claims that happened in the M50 movement, trying to blame the banks and blame the politicians for the crisis, for the unemployment, for the decrease of the level of life in general, and so on. But the fact is that the social composition of the squatters movement was quite similar to the social composition of the M50 movement. It was what we could call the precarious multitude, you know, some people don't like this expression, but I think it's very useful in terms of description of the variety and diversity of different collectives and groups involved in this mobilization. The key thing is that the squatters always tried to mobilize this precarious multitude, but they were unable to do it during many years. Squatting in Spain started during the mid-80s, but the fact is that there were hundreds of experiences, but most of them isolated or within their own social networks, but they never could mobilize large numbers of the population. So, as I mentioned, squatters defended a more radical discourse against the system, but the M15 camp adopted, curiously, the methods of the squatters, in particular the assemblies and the self-management of everyday life and politics. I mean, for most of the squatters, the camp in Puerta del Sol was a sort of a squat social center in the open space, but most of the things, most of the methods, most of the aspirations and the proposals that emerged there were very similar to what happened in the social centers. So, of course, that was very appealing to activists from the squatters movement, and they also start to join the M15 movement, not just from the very beginning, but in the interviews we made to the people who start the camp in Puerta del Sol, we discovered that half of the initial group were also connected to a squat or squat social centers. So they attended parties, they have friends, they visited ones or so. But they were not activists from the squatters movement, only very few, I think 3 or 4. And this is very interesting to know, to realize that there were important connections between the two movements, and these coincidences in terms of organization, of self-organization, were crucial, finally. So squat social centers in the city center were offered as basic infrastructure for the camp. Most of the tents came from my social center, Casablanca, in the center, very 500 meters from Puerta del Sol. And too many other things were in continuous exchange from the camp and to different social centers around Puerta del Sol, the 3 which were closer to this place, and provided, finally, shelter for the groups after the self-eviction. So, at the end, we can conclude that there was a recruitment of new squatters, because most of the people who abandoned, finally, the camp in Puerta del Sol, in particular the committees and the work groups, start to meet and to work continuously in most of these social centers. That happened in the city center of Madrid, but after several months, around September or so, even in August, it was the beginning, some of the rooms in the periphery of the center also start to squat by themselves. So that was a new period. But after the self-eviction, the good thing was that the squat social centers start to be to host most of the groups working in the camp. So this banner says auto-organización, self-organization, asambleas sin dirigentes, assemblies without leaders. And this is the tent in one of the crowded assemblies that took place in Puerta del Sol. So, squat buildings too, why not? So, it was, it's interesting from an inside point of view that nobody imagined that this movement, the 15th of May, could end squatting buildings. It was the spring, the summer, it was a very reformist movement, it was very diverse, inclusive, and so on, and nobody could imagine that it could be radicalized. For me, it's not exactly a radicalization, but it's the mainstream discourse about this movement that is radicalized by the extreme left activists and so on. But this is absolutely false. So the thing is that, after 1 month of the camp and 7 months of demonstrations, assemblies, and above all, the campaign Stop Foreclosures, squatting and squatters gained respect and legitimacy within the M15 movement. So this is the key mechanism, and this is very interesting to understand why I'm trying to connect political opportunities, material ways of connections and exchange and cooperations, as all of these I mentioned, and finally the cultural and political frame which allows squatting to be more visible, to be more respect, more understandable for society. And the key mechanism for explaining this situation, this new evolution of the movement, was this campaign, Stop Foreclosures. This campaign was initiated before the M50 movement. It was a sort of continuation of the movement for a decent housing, which started in 2006, but around the end of 2010, some of those old activists start to fight against evictions of poor people, basically, who could not afford to pay the mortgage. And this campaign was a direct action against these evictions. And this campaign started to promote and to call for people attending the assemblies of the M50 movement asking for help. So one of the most successful campaigns of the M50 movement was to help all of these people to avoid evictions. And that was incredibly interesting for squatters who were fighting in the field of housing, and they discovered that you could fight also in the field of housing with different methods, more solidarity with people, poor people, and so on. And that was more and more increasing the legitimacy of the fights for housing. So squatting for living and for setting up social centers start to be seen as temporary solutions facing the crisis. That means to satisfy extreme needs as well as examples of direct democracy, the ends of the finally of the M50 movement, more than anti-systemic struggle. That's the reason, because I can conclude that it's not so radical the kind of fight that that expressed this convergence between the two movements. This is one of the first occupations of public space by one of the assemblies in the periphery of Madrid, in the Parque de Prosperidad. This is one of the social centers in one of the working class neighborhoods, which is now under the threat of eviction, but is still alive. And is a new social center, which was promoted by the assembly of the movement of this neighborhood, but not very explicitly, because not the whole assembly was in favor of the occupation. But three parts of the assembly decided to occupy, and one part of the assembly is a little bit outside. 5 minutes. Okay, thank you. This is a more known experience, the Hotel Madrid, which starts after the international mobilization in October the 15th. And it delayed until it lasted until the 1st of December, more or less. I'm right, I was not in Madrid that day. I was following by internet. But that was one of the most impressive places in terms of combining hosting people who were homeless or were evicted from their houses, and also too many groups which start to work in the camp of Puerta del Sol. So that was an explosion, because it's very 100 meters from Puerta del Sol, so it was also full of tourists, of people just curious to attend. So, well, finally it was violently and illegally evicted by the police. This is another place which now is already evicted. It was the same day than the Hotel Madrid, and it lasts almost the same. It's in another working class neighborhood in San Blas. These are the first houses which were squat after the eviction of the Hotel Madrid. There was a huge demonstration, and three buildings were occupied in the same night. And this one was the most important one. It was also evicted some weeks ago, but it was also to host poor people and people who were evicted. This one the same. And the Echo is one now of the most prominent in this periphery, in this working class periphery in the south of Madrid. It's in the barrio of Carabanchel neighborhood. It's called ECO. In comparison to the Osera is a public building which never was developed. It was a public facility to build in a theater, but the authorities never put the money for doing that during 10 or more years. So it was empty. It was a neighborhood claim for a long time, but it was the legitimacy was even better. And this place was a private building in this neighborhood. Nobody knew what happened with this place, also 10 or 15 years empty. And now it's one of the centers of the M15 movement. Most of the meetings are having place here. Also, all of these are new social centers, new squats from the September onwards. So I'm not now talking about all the social centers we were already using. So these are in León, in another province, in the north of Spain, and Oviedo, even more in the north. And this is the another building which was squatted in Barcelona the same day that the international mobilization, the demonstration of the 15th of October took place. And it was also devoted for poor people. The good thing of this place is that the youths decided not to evict. And she decided that there was no penal crime, what is really curious, because in Spain it's a crime to squat an empty building. It's also stupid, it's against human rights, but it's the law now, from 1995. And the curious thing in this case is that the youth said, all of these people need this house, and for the moment the bank who owns the building, which it was brandly new, it's not going to use it, so for the moment they can stay, and they are still using this place, leaving this place. So as you can see, these people are not the typical squatters or punks or whatever. So this is another proof how the movement was transforming itself due to this convergence with the M15 movement. So conclusions: yes, we can, and yes, we can squat as well. Well, before the M50 movement, everybody seemed depressed and down, even in spite of all the previous mobilizations that took place the years before. But then after, grassroots politics exploited in forms of camps, demonstrations, assemblies, and squats, takings of buildings. Squatters approached the camp, provided their autonomous skills and squats, and also learned how to protest along with other precarious groups. A new squats were launched due to the increased legitimacy of squatting, the creation of new groups of activists, and the decreasing legitimacy of the government, general elections as an opportunity. And this process can be designated as cumulative chains of activist exchanges, in terms that this means there was an initial face-to-face collaboration, due to the original difference between the two movements, but this previous collaboration provided socio-spatial ground. I mean that they met in the camp. They met in the public space while meeting, while doing assemblies, while preparing the new assemblies in the neighborhoods, while preparing demonstrations and so on. So provided socio-spatial ground for further collaboration and mutual imitation, and that would happen finally. There were also a structural equivalence of camps and the squat social centers, because both were places for living together, for socializing, for cooperation, and both were protest means and democratic ends. There were no separation between them, and that was also a new future of this M50 movement, which decided to do the same things, to practice the same things they were claiming for, or at least part of them, of course. To take down the government and the banks were also part of the claims, and they couldn't practice too many of them. So that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this.